here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zach's Friday Finish Line.
Hello, and welcome to the Zach's Friday Finish Line. I'm Ryan McQueenie, a content writer here at Zach's, along with one of our editors, Maddie Johnson.
Today is Friday, November 3rd, and we're here to recap this week's biggest stories from the investment and financial world. It's been a lot of chaos in Washington, D.C. this week, as the first few indictments from Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation came in on Monday. We kind of knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Heard about it last Friday. Waiting with anticipation. And then bombshell dropped this past Monday. And it basically sent shockwaves through the American political landscape, social landscape, internet, everything.
It was a big pop culture phenomenon as well. Those shockwaves kind of slowly dissipated throughout the week and maybe kind of morphed into new shockwaves of momentum as our political attention, at least, turned to the GOP's evolving, slowly developing, finally starting to get more details.
It's moved away from a blueprint.
Yes, now we're into first drafts. That was all coming out on Thursday and kind of stole our political attention. On Wall Street, though, our attention was consumed all week by a handful of marquee earnings reports from some of our most recognizable brands.
Yeah, so last week we saw huge tech giants like Google, Amazon, and Microsoft, Intel report.
Mostly solid overall as well.
Yeah, so, and this week we saw some of our more consumer-facing tech brands. They're all consumer-facing at this point. But this is what we'll be covering this week, and Ryan's going to start us off with a look at Facebook's latest results.
Yes, so busy week for Facebook, with executives testifying in front of Congress in regards to Russia's political advertising on the platform during the campaign season. On top of the earnings report, Facebook and its investors had a lot to consume this week. Facebook, the world's largest social media company, released its third quarter earnings report after the closing bell on Wednesday. The company posted profits of $1.59 per share and revenues of $10.33 billion, beating our respective consensus estimates of $1.29 per share and $9.88 billion. These figures also represented year-over-year growth of 47.4% and 80.7%, respectively. So, in addition to this strong top and bottom line expansion, Facebook once again reported impressive user growth, with daily active users surging roughly 16% to hit a staggering 1.37 billion. We'll note that monthly active users, MAUs, are also comfortably above 2 billion. But that was not the story that emerged from Facebook's report. Instead, despite this estimate crushing growth, investors seem to be concerned with the comments from the company's polarizing founder and CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, in a attached statement with the earnings announcement. Zuckerberg said, quote, "Our community continues to grow and our business is doing well. But none of that matters if our services are used in ways that don't bring people closer together. We're serious about preventing abuse on our platforms. We're investing so much in security that will impact our profitability. Protecting our community is more important than maximizing our profits," end quote. So to linger on those last two lines, just want to run them back real quick because I feel like it was what investors were taking away from the report. "We're investing so much in security that it will impact our profitability." That's a major phrase. "And protecting our community is more important than maximizing our profits." Very interesting sentiment emerging from Zuckerberg and Facebook's executive team this week. Shares of Facebook actually dipped a little over 2% on Thursday in the wake of this report. Nevertheless, I will say, as kind of a spin, at least 13 brokerage firms raised their price targets for the stock in the wake of the report, implying that yesterday's sell-off might just be some short-term volatility. But Maddie, if we know anything, it's if you want to cause short-term volatility, tell investors that costs they were not expecting are on the horizon, and you're bound to get a little bit of volatility there. Still, doesn't seem unreasonable with what Facebook has been dealing with in regards to Russia and kind of the grand scheme of things, the grand cloud of data security issues that's over the internet industry right now. Doesn't seem unreasonable that they'd be spending more money on securing the platform, regulating content on the platform.
Were you able to get a look at any of the Russian Facebook ads that they released?
I don't know. Thursday? No, I didn't see any of the specific examples, but I did see the...
I remember seeing them. Like some of them looked familiar that I saw on my Facebook feed.
That's crazy.
It was like election cycle.
Some like 125 million Americans or something, they said, saw an advertisement from...
Or like variations of like some of these. Like ones were like, was like this like cartoon of Bernie Sanders, and he was like this like gay superhero, like Bernie Sanders for LGBT rights. And like, but everything, like the major theme was... anti-Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Like that was like the overriding
theme.
Crazy
how that works.
Right. Whether it was like left-leaning, right-leaning,
yeah,
anywhere on the spectrum.
These are professionals. Yeah, they know how to fake it, I guess.
They had
right?
they had a consistent theme, so yeah. You have to give them that, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. So yeah, Facebook cracking down on that. In addition to Facebook testifying in front of Congress this week, we had representatives from Google and Twitter on Capitol Hill. So those were two other platforms that saw a lot of Russian advertising in this past campaign. But yeah, interesting takeaways from Facebook. I'm still going to consider it a must-own if you're going to be investing in this internet space at all, underscoring a lot of what they're doing well. I should say this report underscored a lot of what they're doing well and showed that maybe a little bit too late, but finally starting to take this issue seriously. But still, Thursday, a little bit of volatility. Another company that we'll get to now that had even more volatility on Thursday, kind of becoming the norm after this company reports, is Tesla.
Yeah. So Tesla had a much more bigger sell-off after they reported. So the electric car company posted yet another lackluster earnings report on Wednesday, actually. Tesla reported an adjusted loss of $2.92 per share in their third quarter of 2017, which was wider than our consensus estimate of a loss of $2.45. Revenues increased to $2.98 billion from $2.3 billion in the prior year quarter. And these results were slightly ahead of our estimate of $2.92 billion. Tesla delivered, 26,137 vehicles in the quarter, and sales of the Model S and Model X were up about 4.5%, so a silver lining there. Tesla, however, fell short of its third quarter 2017 production goals of the new Model 3 sedan. This, however, shouldn't come surprising. Shouldn't come Tesla as a surprise.
Below its goals? No.
Below its goals, their Model 3 production problems, issues, you know, I feel like
we've heard this story before.
We've seen this coming.
Yeah, definitely.
The company produced 260 Model 3s and delivered 222, which missed the production target of 1,500. Tesla intends to achieve a production rate of 5,000 Model 3 vehicles per week by late first quarter 2018.
Uh-huh.
So maybe they'll get there. Currently, Tesla expects to deliver around 100,000 units of Model S and Model Xs in 2017, which is up 30% from 2016. However, the company intends to sequentially cut down production of Model S and Model X by 10% in the fourth quarter in order to divert more resources toward the production of Model 3.
Okay, so Model 3 misses production goals, and they're going to have to scale back production of the other two models in order to make up for it.
Yeah. Plus, they have all their goals for the Gigafactory out in Nevada, which, you know, that's behind. Their lithium-ion battery production, their goals for taking over the world, their rocket, I mean, whatever is going on, their deal with Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Their Hyperloop somewhere in where... What is it? Los Angeles, under LA. Yeah. Who knows what that's
going to be? The Boring Company.
The Boring. Yeah. That's actually a really good name.
I think so,
for
too.
The company.
I think so, too.
You know what? It's just another day in the life of a Tesla investor, to be honest.
Yeah. I was just going to say, we've heard this story before, definitely. This seems like a relatively common theme, especially post the last few Tesla earnings reports. Hey, things are going a little bit slower than expected. The world domination plan is just a couple months behind. So, yeah, another company that I think is maybe has aspirations of world domination at some point here is Apple, yeah. Of course.
Tim Cook looks much, much nicer, though.
Yes, less
menacing.
See,
Tim Cook looks like he shops at the Gap, whereas Elon Musk looks like he shops at, like, well,
look, makes Tim, his own clothes.
Tim Cook looks like he has a tailor that makes his own clothes for him. There's something wrong with shopping at the Gap. The Gap is great.
I get all my pants at Old Navy.
They have fantastic basic pants, not plants.
Maybe that
one day, maybe that'll turn around the Gap Inc.
So Apple reported on Thursday afternoon. It was its fiscal fourth quarter results. The company posted earnings of $2.07 per share, which was ahead of our consensus estimate of calling for $1.87 per share. And revenue figures were also ahead of estimates. The company reported revenues of $52.6 billion, beating our consensus estimate of $51.2 billion. Apple reported iPhone unit sales of 46.677 million. That beat our consensus estimate of 46.423 million. Today's results, I just wanted to highlight this because there's been a lot of fuss about the iPhone 8. Maybe being having sluggish demand for the iPhone 8, and then the very highly anticipated iPhone X is dropping tomorrow, or today, that is. And although I don't think that many people who ordered online are going to be getting it today from what I've heard, and I've yet to consume my traditional viewing the reports of the crazy people that waited in line for hours to get them at stores, but those should be slowly creeping in here. So iPhone X not included in this report. iPhone 8 about first week sales, roughly a week or so into iPhone 8's availability is when Q4 ended. So you saw a little bit of a boost there, but obviously this coming quarter is going to be the one that we're really looking for growth in iPhone sales. However, the big story here I feel like is services unit, which includes iTunes, Apple Music, Apple Pay, Apple Care, basically all of the revenue outside of iPhone, Mac, and iPad sales and Apple Watch sales. It witnessed record high revenues of $8.5 billion this quarter. That was up 34.4% from the year ago period. So Apple obviously spending a lot of money in this unit with its investments in original content, kind of doubling down on these deals in Apple Music. But that seems to be starting to pay off here with significant revenue growth. And we've been seeing that throughout the entire fiscal year, but this definitely a record high quarter for Apple's services unit. Also should note that management provided guidance for the upcoming first quarter. Company expects revenue to be between $84 billion and $87 billion. That's crazy to me that a company is doing $84 to $87 billion of revenue in a quarter.
It was their holiday quarter, I guess.
That was ahead of our current consensus estimate of $83.3 billion. So that is a beat on earnings, a beat on revenue, and pretty solid guidance headed
TV, what does that category fall into? That's not services, right?
Yeah, I would think that it's lumped into the other as far as the actual hardware device itself. However, I would think the content that if you're buying content on the platform, then they would probably throw that in services.
Gotcha.
Apple, you know, almost down to the last iPhone as far as counting unit sales, very specific on those numbers, but likes to keep, I think, the rest of those things very tight. I don't think we've ever gotten official, this is how many Apple Watches we sold this quarter, which I always find to be very interesting. But yeah, another great report from Apple. This is one that I think always gets investors nervous with the amount of money and attention that Apple brings, but should set us up good now for, I think, a solid end to the year for tech stocks.
Definitely. So the last company that report, well, one of the bigger consumer names that reported this week was Starbucks, one of my personal coffee favorites.
You have a cup right in front of you.
A cup right in front of me. Today, this week, they rolled out their holiday cups, and I brought it in kind of just, I wanted to talk about
it's
it.
Cool.
It's cool. It's not red.
Yeah, no, it isn't.
It's not just red either. It's not just red. It has some red in it. Their holiday campaign this year is Give Good, and
they're going for like a color. The color, it's like a doodle. Yeah,
they don't give you markers. So, you know, if you do feel like coloring it in, you're going to have to go to your local pharmacy or Target or wherever, or bring your, you know, your own markers and color them in. But I feel like the drawings like start out from the siren logo.
You know what it's
perfect
for?
There's gifts, there's like hand holding, there's a tree, doves. You know,
holiday imagery.
Holiday, there's, you know, a mug, letter writing. It's just, it's so cute. It's cute.
You know what it's perfect for? Is an Instagram picture.
It really
is. You get in there, you mark it up yourself, color in the lines, color outside of the lines, whatever you want to do.
And I think that's what they meant to do last year with the red cup, is they wanted people to have like a blank canvas of like the ombre red for people to like draw it, but like who's gonna do that?
Yeah.
So here, if now you just have to color in the lines.
Yep. Or outside of the lines.
Or outside of the lines.
Whatever
you
want to do, listeners. If
no
you're
limitations.
The lines
no
kind
limitations.
Of person, you want to add to it, but I think that's so great because that's anytime you get those. And you're not even saying it. Does it have a like a hashtag on it at all? It's just good, the Give Good campaign,
just
right?
Just the Give Good campaign.
So you're not even telling people, hey, put this on Instagram, tag us on Instagram. But like that's what's gonna happen.
Oh,
is I'm
absolutely.
Gonna see 8 million of those on my Instagram feed for the next 2 months. And that's free advertising on one of the world's most popular social media platforms.
Absolutely.
For the next month and a half plus. So,
and all their holiday drinks are out right now.
Cheers to you, Starbucks.
They have like a, you know, maple pecan lattes if you're into that, all those things.
That sounds good. But how are they doing? Tell us how they're doing.
Well, the stock was down at one point almost 6% after they reported. They about matched on earnings and revenues. Earnings came in. GAAP earnings were at 54 cents a share. Non-GAAP earnings were at 55 cents a share, which matched our estimate of 55 cents. Revenues about matched our estimate as well, about $5.7 billion. What I think affected the stock the most was potentially comps not performing as well as they used to, or as they have in the past. Global comps came in at 2%. U.S. comps came in at 2%. It was actually up 3% and that was adjusted for Hurricane Harvey impact, I believe.
Sure.
China comps, though, were up 8%, and that was incredible, just from a restaurant overall perspective. Membership in Starbucks Rewards were up 11% year over year to 13.3 million active members. Clearly, I need to become a membership or member in Starbucks Rewards. I'm not.
Well, you could be some growth next quarter. I just don't like paying
with my phone yet.
You haven't broken through to the other side of mobile payments?
No.
Well, they're seeing some growth in that, right?
Yes, they are. So mobile order and pay reached 10% of transactions in U.S. stores, and Starbucks Rewards membership represented 36% of U.S. company operated sales. And one more thing to note is non-GAAP operating margin of 20% declined 90 basis points, while non-GAAP operating income grew 2.8% to $1.1 billion. So a solid quarter, but I guess what's really interesting to me is how much hurricanes Harvey, Irma, and Maria are affecting companies across the board, across the spectrum, whether you're a coffee chain or an oil refinery in Texas.
Yeah, definitely. And I'll add to that by saying we sometimes see these big swings to the downside with companies that report otherwise solid earnings results. And I think that Starbucks is one of these that unfortunately just has so much attention on it and is such a bellwether for.
They just didn't do as well as investors maybe had hoped.
A beat or a solid earnings report is already priced in. And then when it doesn't happen, it's exacerbates that to the downside. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say a bad report by any stretch, but maybe
especially when you consider other restaurants who are reporting negative comps, negative comparable store sales. And I do want to mention that they're selling their Tazo tea brand. So I don't know if you're a big tea drinker. They're selling it to Unilever.
That would be one of the three brands of tea I could name.
Yeah, so. Tazo. So now they're going to just focus solely on its premium brand, Teavana. Teavana.
Okay. Yep.
Which is probably in your local mall.
Yes, I was going to say, I could do that. Teavana and then like David's Tea.
David's Tea is a publicly traded company.
Uh-huh.
Tazo or...
My first day here ever at Zach's, fun fact, first day ever at Zach's was the David's Tea IPO. I covered it.
Interesting.
That's my first story as a writer at on Zacks.com. Fun fact about me.
DTIPO.
So I know a little bit about the tea game. It's interesting that they're shedding that brand. And Teavana, which is what they're sticking with, is more of a mall-based.
Mall-based. It's more upscale, I believe, as well.
Interesting. All right. So that just about does it for us this week. As you said, a lot of four, I think, really consumer-facing brands. Some Wall Street darlings, ones that had a lot of investor attention heading into their reports, information we need to know. As always, if you feel we missed anything or if you want us to cover something else, feel free to shoot us an email at podcast@zacks.com. You can also check out all of our other exclusive audio content at zacks.com/podcasts. Remember to subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you next time on the Zacks Friday Finish Line.